Mason in Ireland. Momo's here. Ramona Shelburne. And one of our favorite people at ESPN is Brian Windhorst, who covers the NBA for the network and in all forms, mostly on ESPN.com. And Brian, nice enough to join us now. Wendy, how's your summer going? How are you?
Just got off the golf course. That's the good news. I played awful. That's the bad news.
Yeah, but the good news is you got out. So there you go. That's half the battle. All right, so let's start. Ramona doesn't love the Patrick Beverley trade from the Lakers' perspective. I actually do love it, Brian, and my main reason why is that the Lakers' defense last year was unwatchable. It was the worst I've ever seen it. They desperately needed to upgrade defensively. I think this does that. I'm not saying he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he does give them an on-the-ball defender that I think can make a difference. From where you sit, you don't have a dog in this fight, but you watch the whole league. Good move or a bad move, what the Lakers did yesterday, basically trading youth to get a defender like Pat Bev?
It's okay. I do think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, the way I describe the Lakers right now is they're kind of house poor. They've got these two studs, but they don't have the accessories. They don't have it. That's why I think, if they end up using the draft picks, they need to get guys that they can build forward with. It can't just be guys who come off the books. They need to stock their team. They only have a couple of, guys you can count on night to night. And, look, Beverly, a whole bunch of teams have traded Pat Bev in the last, 2-3 years. This is the second straight summer where a team has traded for him and said, we're not going to keep him, keep moving. But that said, he has a history of being a contributor on winning teams. You can't deny that. So I do think he'll help them. The thing about it is, and I came to this sort of conclusion reluctantly, I didn't want to believe it, but until I started talking to executives, Talen Horton-Tucker just had almost no value. And that's not my opinion. That's me talking to executives out there. I talked to a team 2 days ago and I asked this question, a team that actually had talks with the Lakers about him. He said, we don't value him. I do think he's a little bit miscast on the Lakers because, he's a guy who probably needs the ball in his hands on a team that has other ball handlers. He's 21 years old. I'm just really surprised that they just couldn't get more for him. But I have to say that I know the market and the market just wasn't there. So they got a real guy in their rotation. They're one solid rotation player richer than they were yesterday. And I suppose that's a step forward.
I think you and I are in about the same place on this, where I keep thinking they could have gotten more for Talen Horton-Tucker, which is why I don't love it. He was a guy who, when you see him at his best, he looks like he could really grow and develop into something. And maybe it's just a function of how they didn't develop him last year. How much of that is on him? How much of that is on the way he was used last year? But he clearly took a step backwards, and at least in the eyes of executives too. My question is more about what kind of team the Lakers have now. Because Brian, as you know, has covered LeBron and basically every LeBron team since high school.
Sure.
And the teams that do well around LeBron have certain characteristics. What do you see from what they have here on this team now versus the teams that have been successful around LeBron in the future, in the past?
Shooting, shooting, shooting. When the Lakers were holding that trophy in Orlando, what was going on? Their guys were hitting shots. They were defending and hitting shots. Any team to win has to defend. They were defending and hitting shots. I've watched the progression around LeBron. First, it was, can you get two shooters next to him? I remember the Cavs trading for Antoine Jameson and thinking, oh my gosh, now there's a third shooter. He didn't actually end up shooting very well with him. And then, they got down to Miami and it was like, wait a minute, let's make Chris Bosh the center because he can shoot. It was, shooting, shooting, shooting. And, at the end of the day, Talen Horton-Tucker shot 26% on threes last year. And that's why, if/when the Lakers do make a Westbrook trade, there's got to be shooting coming back. And that's why you hear Buddy Hield's name. That's why you heard Buddy Hield's name last year. That's why people were questioning Westbrook's fit. It's why people question Westbrook's fit in the new role that Darvin Ham is proposing this year, because Westbrook hasn't proved to be able to shoot. It's always you need shooting around LeBron. And, you know, the Lakers should be better this year with it. I mean, Kendrick Nunn, you know, in theory, if he's able to play, I haven't heard whether he's playing 5-on-5 yet. You know, they should be a little bit better there, but they still don't have enough from the teams that LeBron's won big with in his career.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst from ESPN. And, Brian, you just touched on Russell Westbrook. The question Ramona and I get more than any other, is Russell Westbrook going to be on the Lakers when the season starts? My answer is, I think so. But you talk to more people than I do. What do you think?
I don't. Is he going to be on the roster, or is he going to be with the team?
Right. Two different questions.
Because
that's a good point.
Are they? Are Patrick? I mean, you could obviously bring Beverly off the bench, but you know, are you starting Westbrook and having Beverly come off the bench? I mean, I don't know. And you know, I've heard the case that Darvin Ham has laid out for what he wants Russ to be. Darvin has been very strategic in making that very public. And I think it's a reasonable question. I haven't heard from Russ that he's willing to play that role. If he comes on the first day of training camp, if he is in fact still a Laker, and says, oh yes, I've spent the last 7 weeks shooting 500 corner threes a day, it still might not work. But at least I know that Russ has bought into that concept. I'm willing to take a look. If Russ comes the first day of camp and says, I'm Russell Westbrook, let Russ be Russ, I'm going to be really worried and say, maybe you shouldn't be here. What I will say is I do think there's a chance, a pretty good chance, that the Donovan Mitchell trade is going to get done before the start of the season, or maybe even the start of training camp. Because I think Utah wants to have their situation settled. They're involved in a pretty high-stakes negotiation with the Knicks, trying to get them to pay a huge price. Other teams are involved, obviously. If/when that deal happens, I think you will see Utah then turn to move the rest of the guys on their roster, and I think the Lakers will be in the thick of that as the Lakers look. You know, the two teams that are sort of taking themselves apart are Indiana and Utah, both, and that's the two of the teams the Lakers have obviously been talking about. They'll have some competition, you know, for Utah. You know, if they like Bojan Bogdanovic or Mike Conley. By the way, I think those would be two guys to be great on the Lakers. And if you could get Jordan Clarkson too, if you have to trade both picks, I would want three guys who I felt really good about playing. I feel really good about playing. The other thing is, it's not impossible, if the Lakers tried to do another deal with Utah, that the team that Utah does a deal with for Donovan Mitchell could have players that would come in that the Lakers could make a selection from. Because if you're giving up the two first-round picks, which is what I think it's going to take, you're going to want to bring back, you're going to want to stock your team as much as possible. So I think in regards to Westbrook, I think let's see when Donovan Mitchell, if/when he gets moved, what opportunities and lanes that opens up, and whether the Lakers end up being involved in a three-way deal there, or even if they just go and decide to do a deal with Indiana separately because they don't like the deal that they can make with Utah. I think ultimately, if I had to wager, I would suspect that this probably it could go that direction.
Brian, the other story that we've tracked all summer long is, well, I guess it's two stories, is first Kyrie Irving, then Kevin Durant, and then I guess they kind of combined into one story. Is that the press release comes out? It's a joint press release with the Nets and the boardroom, which is Kevin Durant's company. There's this sense like, okay, they may not be all happy and wanting to move forward together with a song playing in the background, but they're at least moving forward together. Does that mean Kyrie is still is part of that, or is he still somebody that you think can move?
Yeah, I think the Nets. I don't think that they love their choices with Kyrie, and I think Kyrie didn't love his choices either. The Nets are not in position to rebuild right now. They don't have draft picks to do so. Like I saw people saying, you know, when they were talking about Kevin Durant going to Phoenix, for example, they were saying, well, they could trade four first round draft picks and all these pick swaps. And I go, you can't even trade the Nets pick swaps because they don't even have picks in a lot of these years.
Right.
They traded them all away.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to trade Kyrie Irving in a pick trade because they want to continue to be competitive.
Yep.
And the reason they have to continue to be competitive is they don't control their draft. So really the best option for the Nets is for Kyrie Irving to be really good for them this year and for them to want to offer him the type of extension he wants to send. Trading him would be their absolute last resort. And if they traded him, I don't think it would be for a package around draft picks, at least not right now. And so that, even though it looked for a moment there like the Lakers could get in there, I don't think that the Nets ever were interested in doing a type of trade like that.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN, nice enough to join us. By the way, Brian, I played golf today too, and somebody gave me a tip that helped. Lighten your grip pressure on your putter. Do you think that'll help you in any way?
It's getting to the green, John.
Good.
I get to the green, I'm okay. But on the way to the green, it's been a rough one. It's
okay.
Really rough right now.
Keep working at it. I'm glad you're yeah. out there. And
you guys
got to
play next time.
Yeah, most of all. No, did you play in California or are you back somewhere else?
No, I'm in Nebraska right now.
Okay.
So, but I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't matter where in the world I'd play. If I played there today, I would be very bad.
All right. Well, Brian, you're a good sport, and thank you for doing this for us. And we'll see you in a month when the season starts. Thank you again.
Enjoy your day. Thanks,
Brian.
All right. There's Brian Windhorst. And he says that the Lakers are better today than they were yesterday.
I say that too, but I think Brian and I are pretty on the same page. I like how he said, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, they're better than they were.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland does continue now, but it's Momo in Ireland this week. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. The big news we've been tackling all day. Just had Brian Windhorst on here talking about it. Patrick Beverley is joining the Lakers. He was traded this morning, officially. This news broke last night, but the Lakers announced the deal this morning. Pat Bev to the Lakers, going to Utah, Talen Horton-Tucker, and Stanley Johnson. And we've been playing clips all morning about Patrick Beverley talking about he's been mentioning the Lakers and a possibility for months. Here he is when they asked him, would you hesitate to join LeBron on the Lakers as this team is currently constructed? Here's what he said.
Would you want to play with LeBron on these Lakers?
If I was a free agent?
Yes.
And if me and Minnesota didn't agree to
a number? Yeah, correct.
Yes.
You would?
I wouldn't even hesitate. Just to be able to play with a great like that, be able to pick his brain, be able to, you know, be a star in whatever role that I have, playing aside Russell Westbrook, fantastic. I mean, we couldn't ask for, and playing for the Lakers, couldn't ask for a better job.
So it's...
He mentions Westbrook there by name in a complimentary way. A lot of people saying, well, these two can't play together. This is what Bergman was saying earlier. They hate each other. They've been calling each other out forever.
Yeah.
I think once you get traded and money gets involved, then everybody calms down and says, all right, let's work together. So I think that's
right.
What'll happen.
Have you ever had to host a show with somebody you hate?
Besides Mason? No. No, there aren't too many. We used to have a program director that didn't believe that chemistry mattered. He thought, if I throw two people in a room because of me, it'll work.
Oh,
and
that's
it was awful. So we had
who you're talking about.
Yeah, we had a lot of bad combinations. But
yeah. Chemistry matters, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it matters a lot. All right, so we'll be covering the Pat Bev thing throughout the show. And I want to get to some other stuff. Did you see this? Do you watch The Amazing Race?
Oh, I used to watch it every week.
Okay, now I've never gotten, and I've seen episodes of it, but yeah. I've never really gotten into it. You've watched entire seasons?
Yeah, entire seasons. And then I think it was just too much of a time commitment eventually. Like, I just dropped out of it after a while.
Okay.
But I watch it.
So Rex Ryan,
yeah,
the former Jets and Bills coach,
yep,
is going to be on The Amazing Race with one of his golf buddies. The two of them are going to try and win The Amazing Race. So it got me to thinking, if we were asked to be on The Amazing Race,
yep,
and you could pick your partner.
Okay.
But it has to be somebody affiliated with ESPN LA.
Okay.
So somebody that either hosts a show here, works here.
Fair enough.
You know, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Who are you picking?
I'm either choosing you or Sedano.
Why?
George, because I think he would be an agreeable travel partner. He travels a lot. He's like you.
Did you just use the word agreeable, with Sedano? Yeah. He is not agreeable. Well, he would tell you he's not agreeable.
I mean, come on now. Agreeable?
Bergman, have you ever heard the word agreeable and Sedano in the same sentence?
Like, no, you fight in the first 5 minutes.
One of the things I like about George is that he's disagreeable.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what makes him a good host.
So maybe like he and I are friends. I don't know. I get along well with him. I think he would not get on my nerves.
I actually think the answer to this is easy.
Okay.
And I bet you Bergman picks the same person I would pick.
All right.
Greg, somebody affiliate. I only want one name. Don't give me like, I think that this is.
No. I'm not going to.
One name from someone affiliated with our station to be your partner in The Amazing Race. Who are you taking?
Briones.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because he can do every single one of the challenges. I love that show, by the way.
Yeah.
He would be easy to travel with. He would be able to do every one of the challenges. He could speak a lot of the language. Yes, absolutely.
My team is going to destroy. Momo and Sedano, Bergman and
Briones.
Briones. Yeah. My team is going to destroy your team.
Who are you taking?
Kirk Morrison.
Oh.
White, how's it?
Yeah,
how are
he's
you gonna,
good.
You're going for the strength.
Brawn.
Yeah, you're going for the brawn.
But it's
not all about brawn on that show.
Hold on. He's a great guy.
He is.
He's had a lot of life experience.
Yes.
Played for the Raiders.
Yeah.
So he's used to overcoming obstacles. He's athletically better than any of us. So any physical challenges, I would have the upper hand. And plus, he's a good dude. He'd be like, he's a good, positive guy. If I had to be in a bunker with somebody for how long does it take?
It's like a month or two.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Based on that, Greg, be objective.
Okay.
You and Briones, Momo and Sedano, me and Morrison. Wouldn't my team be favored?
No, it would be me and Briones.
You're adding your mind.
I think me and Sedano would be good.
Think me and Greg.
The reason I like Sedano,
who are you taking, by the way?
Greg, I'm taking Greg.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Jorge.
You two are morons.
Look at that.
We're like Shrek and Donkey here.
Yeah. I prefer to be Donkey in this situation. Yeah, I was going to say, I know which one's the Donkey, and it's not Briones.
You're a choice, too, but I think you're too bougie. You
but
travel private.
Wait a minute. Being bougie can work in your favor.
True.
I know how to grease the wheel, shall we say.
That's true.
I would compare me to Mr. Hal on Gilligan's Island. You know how whenever he wanted anything, he would just cut a deal?
So my having watched that show, I think—
You know who would be terrible?
Mason.
Michael.
Michael would be the worst.
Michael would be like, is this challenge involve ketchup? No. All right, I'm out.
No, I'm out.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even leave the room.
It's the eating of stuff too. Do you think Kirk Morris is eating stuff? He sometimes has to eat some gross things.
Yeah. Sure,
that's
going to
be Jorge's.
Mason would just not. He just wouldn't get up for the
He's no Mason
he wants to hang out
Mason
and read a book.
Take Mason would be physically injured on the first 2 days.
That's right.
So here's the thing about Sedano though for you, because once things go wrong on the airlines all the time, and when something goes wrong on the airline, Sedano's going to lose it. He's going to absolutely lose it. So that's where you guys are going to falter.
Yeah. He travels commercial, which I think is important because you travel commercial on that show.
Right.
He's an efficiency expert like you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important on that show. He'd be good at the physical things. Not as good as Kirk, but I think he would be. He could hang. He's in shape, and I think he speaks Spanish. That's a plus.
Uh-huh. Right.
So half the places we go, he'd probably be able to speak the language. Yeah, I think I'm taking Sedano. It's a good and I don't know about you guys, but I get along pretty well with George.
Yeah.
No, it's easy to get along with when like you're one-on-one. But then when it's, you know, I just think that Jorge and I would be able to handle any single challenge that comes by.
Any single challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first
I don't think you'll get through the first week, Ireland.
Either of you.
The first...
You didn't even think about us. That's
no.
the problem.
God, no.
I did actually think about Briones.
You have no idea. I would kill that game.
The first time we have a three-legged race, Morrison and I would lap you people.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I would just let him do all the work.
You'd be dragged behind him.
Man, I'm faster than Morrison.
Kirk was at the softball game?
Right.
He was so good.
Right, but it's all if there's speed involved.
I was fast. You saw me run.
You're not as fast as Morrison.
Morrison's faster.
I'm
faster than Morrison.
He played in the NFL. Past tense.
Okay, wait a minute. This lends itself to another bit.
I know.
I'm faster than Morrison.
Hey, okay. Pull that clip.
You guys.
Save it.
Right now, the next marquee race is Kirk Morrison against Jorge Briones.
Yeah. Against anyone.
I will bet any mythical money I have.
Yes, me too.
All of it on Morrison.
No, I'm taking Briones in that for sure.
I'm done.
40 or should we do 40 or 100? What did Marcellus did a 40.
Yeah, it was
40.
Yeah.
40 would give George a better chance. Would give Jorge a better chance.
What, you think that it's over time that Jorge's going to just start to falter?
Yeah, I do.
No. Morrison's not going to be able to last the whole way. Yeah. He is retired from the NFL. He is not currently in the NFL.
Did you see him in the game?
He hit a home run every time.
That's brawn, not speed.
He didn't have to run fast. He had a home run.
Yeah, he kind of like hobbled around.
Yeah, you two are idiots.
That was Morrison would
smoke you,
yes,
Briones.
It would not even be close. No
chance. Right. No chance. Jorge's winning that.
Besides bad reality TV and train wreck women on those shows, what do I love more than anything?
Pork chops?
Conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I got a new one. And I'm going to share it with you next. Mason and Ireland. By the way, Bobcat coming up in about 20 minutes. Bergman will get in here. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, Mason and Ireland. Momo in for Mace. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to join the show by phone, or you can tweet at us. Twitter at Ramona Shelburne. Twitter at LA Ireland. Twitter at Bergman Greg. Greg, what's going on the tweet deck?
So Hovick says 100% Greg and Jorge are winning. John Sedano, Momo are all giving up when there's a single sign of discomfort. Greg and Jorge are grinders. Not that kind of grinder. They are Pat Beverly. You are all Westbrooks.
I didn't know.
Wow.
That you. I didn't know you were on Grindr.
No, I am not. He's saying not that kind of grinder. Thank you very much. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Grindr is like gay Tinder, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Beto and Whittier says, you're right. Vote for Jorge. Jabcam LA would likely kill on The Amazing Race, but seriously, who's Shrek and who's Donkey? The Only Sanch says, typical Sedano slander from Bergman Greg and Jabcam LA, Jorge. And Ramona Shelburne, defend his honor.
I'm going to tell Sedano. I thought you were...
Oh, no. I'm sure he knows already.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're doing crosstalk with him coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, you know who just died?
Who?
This is one of the first guys I saw. I saw him at a dry cleaner's when I first moved to L.A. in 1995. I was working at a TV station in San Diego. I got a job. Did you guys watch the original 90210?
Of course.
You know who just died?
Who?
Joe E. Tata.
The guy who ran the Peach Pit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, he was one of the first guys I met. There you go.
I'm going to guess that you are a pretty big Beverly Hills 90210 fan.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Not as big as Trudell. Trudell was super into it. But, I did occasionally walk down the hallway of my various broadcast institutions screaming, Donna Martin graduates.
Me too.
Yeah. Really cool thing.
Did you watch the reunion show?
The reunion, and I watched the new one.
Yeah,
that they did too, like the reboot.
Yeah, the reboot. The
reboot was just okay.
By the way,
I used to live in West Hollywood, in the Hollywood Hills, and I don't even know if it's still there anymore. There was this place called the Saddle Ranch Chop House.
Oh, I've heard of this.
They had an electronic bull that you could go ride in there, and the hostess that worked at was like one of the leads on the reboot of 90210.
Oh.
I thought. Super weird. I used to see that girl all the time at the Saddle Ranch Chop House. All right. So I mentioned that I am a big believer in conspiracy theories. I think that most of the time they are true.
I wish you could see how excited he is talking about this.
Well, now, this one is a little bit of a reach.
Just this one is a reach. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you know who Rich Rodriguez is? He used to be the head coach at Michigan.
Yep.
And then he
Rich Rod.
He flamed out at Michigan and he went to U of A, went to Arizona.
Yep. Didn't do well there either.
So he's been kind of working his way down the chain of college football.
Yeah, that happens.
So now Rich Rod is the new coach at Jacksonville State. Okay, so not at Michigan anymore.
Yep.
Not at U of A anymore.
Yep.
It's Jacksonville State.
Yep. Hey, still a real school and a real football program.
Got a game.
Division I, right?
Yeah, I think.
1A, maybe. Yeah okay.
Division I adjacent.
Yeah, adjacent.
Got a big opener coming up against Stephen F. Austin. He claims, Rich Rod claims, that the fine folks at Stephen F. Austin are spying at Jacksonville State. Here is Rich Rodriguez yesterday.
Pretty good source. It's true that they had a couple staff members at our spring game, which is kind of like that's not really supposed to happen. But we're making plans accordingly, you know. If they're over there thinking they have our plays or what have you or signals or something like that, we've changed things since the spring. Then we caught somebody trying to film something the other day. And first my daughter called, Raquel saw him. And then we caught him again, saw him, you know, peering through there with his camera. And I sent the biggest guy in our program's crew, one of our assistant strength coaches. He's about like 6'7", 350, probably benches like 1,000 pounds or something. Sent him up to bleachers to run him out. And that guy disappeared pretty quick.
All right, Momo, do you believe Rich Rodriguez and that there are spies from Stephen F. Austin that have infiltrated Jacksonville State? That game, they don't get any bigger than J-State against SFA.
Yeah.
Or is Rich Rod just being a paranoid conspiracy theorist? What do you think?
I think Rich Rod misses the days when it was important enough for
Bergman,
people to
there's
spy
no
on
way
him.
Stephen
there's
F.
no
Austin,
way.
Which, by the way, is located in Texas.
Right. Half away of the country.
He is practicing in Florida, in Jacksonville. I'm sure there is a world where spies from Stephen F. Austin would get on a plane and fly to Jacksonville and their iPhones and shoot the spring game and then hide up in the bleachers where he has to send crew, the 350-pound strength coach,
6'7",
to run him out.
Do they have turtlenecks going over their face and the glasses on?
I just think that everybody is watching too many X-Files.
He's like the Tinder swindler. My enemies are after me.
Yeah, my enemies. Momo, did you watch the Tinder swindler?
Oh, I love that one.
Oh.
So good.
Here's the amazing thing. What is wrong with you women? They just kept... The other women would call the new girlfriend and say, hey, this guy's a fraud.
Yeah.
He's going to, sooner or later, he's going to spend a bunch of money on you.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, if you haven't seen this is a thing on Netflix called
it's so
the
good.
Tinder Swindler. Once you start it, you can't turn it off. It's like the 24-hour Baywatch channel. and so this dude, this Tinder Swindler, his whole MO would be, he'd meet a girl, he would take a bunch of phony pictures outside of private jets and fancy cars and make up a...
Oh, often he would take them on private jets and fancy cars.
Right. And then he would get access to that and they would say, ooh. My new boyfriend has a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would say, as Greg pointed out, my enemies are out to get me. They have closed my credit card accounts. I have no access to my money. Can I, by the way, Ramona, borrow $50,000?
I mean, and it was
a lot. And girls would give it to him.
With the same photo. It was the same photo every time.
And then he would send a picture of him like with a bandage on his head that's like 4 years old. And say, oh, my enemies have attacked me. I need another $20,000. And then he would take the newfound $70,000
mortgages out on their houses.
Spend it on the next girl.
Ugh.
And he's still doing it.
He's still doing it. There's a whole documentary explaining how he did it, and he's still doing it. And people are still following
it. And these girls are stunning, these girls that are agreeing to go out with him.
Apparently, he's just misunderstood.
Exactly. No. It doesn't make any sense. There's one more thing I wanted to get in here before we go to Bobcat. You guys know who Nick Kyrgios is, right?
Yeah.
The tennis player.
Yeah, the hothead.
Okay. Did you, Bergman, did you see this story?
I did. All didn't realize that you had it also.
Okay. So Kyrgios, who I think is a really good player, had a spectator removed at Wimbledon. This woman who was drinking a lot, and she basically was heckling him, and Kyrgios went to the chair umpire and go, hey, that woman up there, the one who looks like she's had 700 drinks, just throw her out. She's just being obnoxious. She's being affected. And so the chair umpire threw him out. Now, some of this got picked up on a hot mic.
Uh-huh.
The woman is now suing Kyrgios. Her name is Anna Paulus. She said in a statement released by her lawyers on Tuesday, she's bringing defamation proceedings against Kyrgios in a bid to clear her name. Mr. Kyrgios's false allegation was broadcast to and read by millions around the world, causing me and my family very substantial damage and distress. Momo, does Anna Paulus have a case?
No. No. Look, I understand why she's bringing this, but what you have to prove damages and libel, and you have to prove that it's malicious intent and knowingly false.
Right.
There's no way you could get to anything.
And I don't think anyone seriously said. No. Bergman, you don't also, think she no has a case, do you?
No one knew who she was. No one knew who she was when he said it.
I mean,
like, man, she's on the photos.
She better hope I actually have 700 beers.
Yeah. She better hope I'm not on that jury.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because I would say, what's wrong with you for bringing this case in? Why? I mean.
Well, a lot of times you do that just to clear your name, but also to. Just to settle, to get something out of it. Oh, we don't want to actually go to court. I don't have to hire a lawyer to go to court. I'll just pay you 10 grand to go away.
And so we'll keep.
I don't know if 10 grand would do it.
I took this story off of Barstool, and the guy that wrote it, a guy named Hubs, he says, will she win? I'm no legal expert. But I guess she can say he defamed her by calling her drunk in public. If a court used common sense, they'd toss this out after realizing no one knew her name and that nothing bad had followed the moment. I'm not even sure the TV cameras panned to the crowd once that whole encounter happened. Causing me and my family very substantial damage and distress is a leap and a half. Honestly, if I were known for getting drunk at a sports event rather than being an extremely annoying sober person in the stands, I would take the drunk. Yeah, she can't win, right? There's nothing we're not thinking of here.
No. I mean, there have been court cases, because I remember this from the Jerry West accusation, the Jerry West.
Right. He threatened to sue the producers of Winning Time for mischaracterizing.
And the part that his lawyer cited was that there have been cases where somebody was accused of being drunk in public and they actually won. When they could prove that they were never drunk in public,
right?
And so that's sort of accused of that.
Precedent. By the way, I think the reason I like Legacy more than I like Winning Time, and I like them both. I think Winning Time's good. I'm going to keep watching it. I think Legacy's great. Yeah. I'm going to keep watching that. I'll take all the Laker content I can get. I think the whole reason I favor Legacy is about the way they treated Jerry West.
I think that
was so awful. A portrayal of Jerry West on Winning Time, and so over the top, curled up in a ball in his underwear on his living room floor. I mean, come on.
You know, this is not to say that Legacy whitewashes everything. There was the scene in episode 2 where they talked about, okay, Jerry, you know, they fire Paul Westhead, and Jerry, like, Dr. Buss says to Jerry West, okay, I want you to make the decision on who's going to coach the team. He thought Jerry West was going to coach the team, and Jerry West just basically said at the press conference, no, Pat Riley's going to coach the team. And it was super awkward, and it was not what Dr. Buss had told him. But Jeannie Buss is in there, and she goes, well, that was kind of set the tone of their relationship going forward.
Right.
Right? I mean, that was pretty honest. Like, it was Jerry kind of freelanced there.
Right.
Exactly what the owner said.
I've told this story before. The one thing that I hear sometimes about Legacy is that, well, since the Lakers are one of the producers of it, it is going to be sanitized. It's not.
No. Not from what I've seen so
far. Watch and decide yourself. And I can let you guys in. I don't think I'll get in trouble for telling this story. When they began working on Legacy, the producers began working on Legacy, Linda Rambis called me and she said, John, you're going to get a call from the producers of Legacy, and I want you to cooperate with them fully. Give them whatever they need and say whatever you want.
Hmm.
So they didn't. They that was their directive yep. to everybody. Tell the truth. It's a really interesting story that with a lot of drama, yep. don't hold back. So I think if you watch it, there have only been three. Bergman, have you watched all three?
No, I missed the third one. I haven't okay. watched it yet, but I plan to tonight.
Would you say after watching the first two that it comes off as sanitized in any way?
A little bit. Well, when it's going up against Winning Time, which was not sanitized in the slightest,
right.
it just feels more sanitized.
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
It's
also
is.
Documentary versus
yes.
yeah.
scripted.
Yeah. But I think if you're a Laker fan, you'll really, really like it. It's
there's
called
a lot
Legacy.
Of good stuff in
it's
there.
On Hulu.
It's good.
Yeah.
There's three episodes. I think there's 10 episodes total. Mm-hmm. There are three of them. All six of the bus kids cooperated. They're all in it. Jim, Jeannie, Janie, Joey, Jesse, all in it, including the drama between Jeannie and Jim. So you're going to get to see all of it. Byron Scott, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Michael Cooper, Kurt Rambis, all in it. I haven't seen Phil yet.
I haven't seen Phil yet either. I haven't seen myself yet. I've been waiting for the part where I make my cameo.
Jerry West in it, Mitch Kupchak in it, Gary Vitti in it.
Yep.
So all the people,
everyone.
All the people that they fictionally portrayed in Winning Time are all actually yeah. in Legacy, and for that reason, I think you'll like
hey,
it.
Hey, is my friend from USC still here? She
yeah,
leave?
She's right yeah. here.
So we've been inviting one of our ESPN summer interns to watch us do this radio show.
Why would you do that to her?
I mean, John, you know what she thinks our job is now?
Like coming in here playing grab talking, ass every day for 3 hours?
Talking about,
which is pretty much
talking
what
about
we do.
Conspiracy theories. And then Michael Roth just brought over a basket from the rugby tournament that they're having here. It's like this international rugby team. 16
right.
teams are playing. We got meat pie.
Yeah.
We got kiwis. They brought beer in here. Like, this, yeah. is this really our job?
Do you think she has a distorted view of what we really
so.
Do? We'll talk to Bergman. He makes the schedule. You can fill in next week. Coming up next, Bobcat.
Oh.
Bergman's going to get in here and throw a bunch of stuff at us, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Tristan, Amanda. All right, so did you guys see, you know that Om Yong Masuk? I think I said it right. I hope I did.
Om Yamasuk.
You were pretty close.
Just call him Om.
Om. Oh, Om. So Om put out he talked with Steve Ballmer, and he was talking about the new arena they're putting up together.
Yep.
But he has a quote from Ballmer that he just put out into a story a couple of hours ago.
Wait a minute, Greg, was this the quote?
Yeah. Weak ass Clippers. Yeah. Beat they f***ing yeah. ass. Got it. Out of here.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That was the best thing you've ever done, John. Nicely done. I'm so proud
Bravo.
Of you. All right, the quote is this.
Jorge, I can't believe you played that.
yeah. I can't even get through this question now. All right, so the quote is, it's another statement that says, hey, look, we're nobody's little brother. We're a real team. So if you have to say that you are a real team, and you have to tell people that you're a real team. Are you actually a real team?
I've said this many times before. I have nothing against the Clippers. The Clippers gave me my start. I did radio play-by-play for the Clippers for 3 years. There's a lot of great people that work over there. I really like them.
Yeah.
I think they missed a huge opportunity to move the team to Seattle when Steve Ballmer bought them. I don't know why they stay here. They are never going to be out of the Lakers' shadow. But people like me and other people in the media can't make them see that. If they want to be part of the Los Angeles sports scene, even though they'll never, ever surpass the Lakers, then you have to let them. And I think even if they won a lot of people are going to win the title this year. At the end of that would be Lakers 17, Clippers 1.
So
it's such a weird choice to continue to try and compete with the Laker brand in L.A.
I know why they stay, and well, first of all, I think they had to stay. I think that was part of the sale agreement. If I'm not, I mean, I do know these things about the Sterlings, right?
Yes, I've heard that.
I think
about
that
you.
Was. What if I told you?
What if I told you?
Yeah. What if I told you? There it is. By the way, see, we cast Vista Viana.
Yeah, and that girl's really pretty.
Yeah, Cleopatra Coleman. That's going to be good. And we cast a lot of the players.
Don't avoid the question.
Okay.
All right.
I can't self-promote.
Oh, you can't. Go ahead. I would actually prefer you to do it. Go. No. Don't listen to me do it.
So I think Steve gets asked this question in every single interview, and he does his best not to duck it. He. I know how he feels about this, is that you kind of can't say anything until you win. But they're trying to do everything they possibly can do to win. Like, he's spending billions of dollars on the stadium. They went out and traded for Paul George and signed Kawhi Leonard. They did all these trades. But
John Wall coming.
John Wall, like, they're spending gazillions of dollars on this roster this year. They've done a really good job in their front. They're doing everything right now. But it doesn't mean a thing unless you get the ring, and they know. Like, I talk to people in that franchise all the time. They prefer to be the underdog. It's part of their brand. And Steve's just trying not to duck that question, which is why he gives answers like that. But
we're a real team.
Oh, you're just the worst. Like, what's he supposed to do? Would you rather him say, I don't want to talk about the Lakers? What? I mean, you know.
You could say that. You just don't say we're a real team. It just sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, it does sound
weird.
I'm
a real boy.
I wonder, yeah.
Wait, hold on. You got that one, Jorge?
I'm a real boy. Yeah, I wonder.
Did you get Greg saying that? I just want to make sure we have
that's
that
joke. That's totally fine.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Wait.
Thanks.
What is it? Line 5? Patrick Beverly wants to weigh in on this question.
Weak ass Clippers. Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
Got it.
I'm the only objective one in the room. Jeez.
You have to be. All right, so Oscar.
You're going to be really good this year. Come on.
Not around these parts. All right, so Oscar Mayer is upping the glizzy game, if you don't know.
Excuse me?
A glizzy is a hot dog.
Oh,
you didn't know
okay.
That.
No, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah,
what
so
we had
they
yesterday?
Are. Yeah, what was that?
Is that what we had yesterday?
Yeah, we had glizzies yesterday. So they are combining hot dogs and popsicles for frozen wiener pops and saying they are both refreshing and smoky.
Wait, it's a frozen hot dog?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a frozen hot dog.
On a stick? Like a popsicle?
Yep, with the popsicle stick. Yep.
All right.
So the question is, why are they doing this and who would actually eat this?
Well, yesterday we had that guy at the Yankee game that put the straw in the middle of his hot dog and dipped it in beer and used it basically as a
weird
swizzle stick. So to each his own. I don't think I would eat a frozen hot dog, would you?
No, I would cook it.
Right.
I mean, that's what you do with frozen hot dogs. I have a pack of them in my freezer, and when guests come over, I say, do you want some hot dogs? I'll make them on the barbecue.
Even if it's like a hot dog flavored popsicle?
No.
Nobody wants
that's
hot dog
gross.
Water. That's gross.
What are
yeah,
we talking
it does
about?
Seem like a very weird food combination. I'm not sure.
I mean, they're trying whatever they can. Glizzy is gigantic right now, so.
What?
They call it. That's so what people glizzy, call it. Glizzy.
Glizzy is a synonym dog. For hot dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Millennials.
They probably like sriracha sauce on it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, probably. Yeah, who knows? With some avocado.
Truffle mayo.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
Wow, we just got very old up in here.
Yeah, we did. Well, he started
okay,
with
Boomer.
He started with Oscar Mayer. Come on. All right, today's a very interesting day. National holiday is Sunday and Burger Day. What do you put on your Sunday? I mean, banana split day. Sorry, it's a banana split national holiday today.
Highly underrated yeah. item, the banana split.
Yeah. Yeah.
And burger. So what do you put on your banana split, and where's your favorite burger spot?
All right, so banana splits, what make them work is you got to go Neapolitan on the scoops.
Yes.
So you got to do one scoop of chocolate, one of vanilla, and one of strawberry. You split the banana, put the banana on each side, load it with whipped cream, little bit of nuts, throw a cherry on top. There's your banana split. You're off to the races. And in terms of burgers, I'll go with In-N-Out because they're a Lakers sponsor.
Okay. I have a different take on the banana split. The key to a good banana split is the banana must be cold. It can't be
and
like
frozen.
Room temp. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be frozen, it just has to be cold.
Okay.
Okay. And I like the syrup. I like the chocolate syrup on it and strawberry syrup in addition to the cherry.
Yeah.
I like Neapolitan ice cream as well, but to me that's not the deal breaker. It's the cold banana and it has to have the good syrups on it.
All right, so if you had to get a burger from somebody, well, you go to Smashburger a lot. Do you like that?
Yeah, no, it's not the best burger. The best burger is the one by, I always order from this place. I get the grilled chicken sandwich from there. And they're also,
okay.
I have to order on the app because they always mess up my order when I order it in person. It's just that place.
So it takes a half an hour
yeah,
to get
it takes
food.
So long. It has to be on the app. I like a place, there's one by my house called Michael's Burger out in the valley. And they're like $5. Like they're so like
really
nowadays that's cheap, right? You can get like triple cheese. It's one of those places that has like everything grilled and it's been there forever.
When I was at UCLA, Tommy's was
you know
a very big
about,
deal. Is Tommy's still a thing,
yeah,
Greg?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tommy's is good.
Chili on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Tommy's with chili dogs.
There's a place
chili burgers.
Frosty Queen in Granada Hills.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I know that place.
Super good.
Yeah, really good. And Michael's like, we just ordered them on Postmates. Early COVID, that was like our order every day. So many Michael's orders.
We were talking about this the other day, COVID. Is there any company that came out of COVID better positioned than Zoom?
Amazon or Postmates.
Those three would be in it. Yeah, but Zoom was like...
Zoom was nothing.
Kind
and now
of
it's
a thing,
everything.
And now it's like the way we all do business, right?
Zoom baited us in, because now they only allot you 40 minutes, and then you got to pay for it.
That's a perfect length of a Zoom.
Interesting.
I don't want to go longer than 40 minutes. I like that. Yeah.
All right. Bergman, what do you got?
True, FaceTime.
Doesn't even realize what she said. All right, so we're going to move on. Raiders coach Josh McDaniels is...
We got it.
Raiders coach Josh McDaniels is saying that during joint practices...
Anyway.
Stop making me laugh, Jorge. That during joint practices with the Patriots, players on the Pats sidelines are calling out the plays. Why didn't he change anything?
Yeah, if this is true, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Josh McDaniels gets the job as the coach of the Raiders and then brings the Patriots playbook and doesn't change the names of the plays? What are you doing?
It's not like he didn't have all summer.
Maybe try something different? I don't know.
Yeah, if they know your play before you're going to run it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right, I think this is going to be very, very difficult on you, especially, John.
Okay.
It's kick it off the planet.
All right.
Maybe the hardest one you've ever had to do.
Okay.
Magic or Kareem?
Wow. How are you doing that?
I don't know.
It was on the wheel.
It was on the wheel.
Magic or Kareem? Well, I always say that Kareem is disrespected and is highly underrated because he, in his playing days, didn't embrace the media like Magic did. But I think Magic would have found a way to win titles without Kareem. I'm not sure Kareem would have won titles without Magic. And also, Kareem's the NBA's all-time leading scorer, unbelievable player. But if I had to pick one, I would take Magic because he made everyone else better with his passing, and he's been a billionaire businessman in the community and done tons of stuff for other people since he got out of the game. So I would lean Magic, but you're right, Greg. It's an impossible one to pick. But if you made me pick it, I would take Magic. How about you, Momo?
I mean, you said it in your question, Magic or Kareem.
Oh.
Who comes first? It's Magic, right? Like, Kareem was on the team before. They didn't win with just Kareem. They won when Magic got there.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair to say that Magic has done more for the world, right? Like, he is a billionaire businessman, and he is the star personality. But he's just more outgoing. Kareem has done a lot for the world.
Well, he's written 7 or 8 books. And, yeah.
But he doesn't have the personality that's as forward-facing. He's more of an intellectual.
Right.
And so while I respect him, I also... to me, it's Magic. You got to keep Magic, because, like, he's the defining face, brand, personality, whatever you want to say, of the Lakers as we know them.
You're right, though. Who would you pick, Bergman?
Just because I'm a Bruin fan, I'm going to go with Kareem and all this.
Yeah. If you look at it that
also,
way.
Also, I mean, like, the Skyhook was unstoppable. He let
the greatest sports mystery to me in my lifetime.
Changed the game for him.
Is why hasn't anyone copied the Skyhook?
That's right.
And I've asked Kareem a bunch of times about it, and he says they don't think it looks cool. I said, who cares? This reminds me of like when Rick Barry used to shoot free throws underhand and shoot 90%. I would shoot free throws in a tutu if I could shoot 90%. I don't understand what looking cool has to do with it. Think of all the great centers we've had since Kareem. Yeah. Not one of them has mastered the skyhook.
Well, and I would have said now, okay, in this era, they don't have enough time for the ball to stay in the post that long to do the swing left, shoot right.
Yeah.
But somebody like Jokic or Embiid, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be unstoppable. Okay, coming up next, we'll revisit our top story of the day. The Lakers have traded for Patrick Beverley. I love the trade. Ramona's not so crazy about it. I'm going to try and – I got an hour to win her over. I'm going to try and convince her that it's actually a good trade. And the latest on the Dodgers. It's all coming up next, ESPN LA.